Amen. So we are entering into our third week of a five-week series that Mark Einfeld, the Lord gave him kind of a vision for doing a summer series on the posture of prayer. And so thus far we've heard from Chris Norby. Last week Robin Sue shared with us. This morning Danielle Erickson is coming to talk about postures of prayer in relation to provision. And so as she comes, I just want to share something about Danielle and her life that challenges me. And I've known Danielle for about 5 years. Her and Todd and Nathan have been a part of this congregation for a little over 8 years now. Came from Mill Creek Foursquare. They lived in the Mill Creek area, but when the Lord called them to this community, he called them to move into this community. And so they live about 5 minutes from here and have a house that's open to people to come and to be. And as long as I've known Danielle, she's just been about the work of caring for people in this community. Through events like the fun days that we have and VBSs, I know as a planner, sometimes I like to make sure that all the provision is available before I step out. Anybody like me? Sometimes you just want to know all the answers. And what I appreciate about Danielle and her faith and the way that her faith challenges me is that she's a lot of times like, oh, well, don't worry about it. God will provide. I'm like, but we need to know. He's like, no, God will provide. And no, but God actually will provide. And what I've watched Danielle do over the last 5 years is just to continue to step into opportunities to serve children primarily, but many other families in a way that just says, well, God will bring the people at the right time. And again, that proved to be the case yesterday. So Danielle is going to come today, talk to us about the life of Hannah and prayer, and also just share about some events that took place yesterday. So would you welcome Danielle Erickson?
Yeah, yesterday was such a fun event. We had so much fun just inviting the community in to our facility and blessing them with food. We had someone giving haircuts, back to school haircuts for kids. He was literally busy the whole time. He had a line of kids getting haircuts. And we had school supplies, had everybody hooked them up with backpacks and everything they needed for the school year. We had Bob's Burgers come and provide a meal for the families that were here, and it was just so fun. And we had even books out here. You could see in this courtyard, it was filled with families, and you could see the kids were picking out books and bringing them over, and the moms were sitting and looking at them together with them, and they were so excited, and then seeing them eat together. And just, we got to be part of the community, even though not all of us live right here, and it's just, it's such a wonderful community. So, and then I am going to share a little bit about myself. Like he said, my name is Danielle Erickson. And you'll see my husband Todd, and he's over there. And I, we have four children and four grandchildren. I grew up in Everett. I love the outdoors. I love animals. And if you can combine those, like I can be with animals outdoors, it's like, that's as good as it gets. So I, as a job, I do interior design, and that's just something that God's gifted me for. And it just, that creativity and artisticness kind of comes out in all different ways in my life. And I've just been blessed to have that gift from the Creator. This is actually, even though I've been here for 8 years, this is the first time they've asked me to speak here in the main service, so I'm a little nervous. Chris said we're continuing the prayer series, and I'm speaking on Hannah. And I have to say, when we were kind of got the, you know, the list of the people that we're doing, and he gave me Hannah, I was kind of like, Hannah? Oh, really? Like, because, you know, we've got Daniel and Peter and Jesus, and then I'm like, Hannah, that's part of the series? Okay. I was kind of like, I was surprised. And so I got in there, and I'm like, I need to, I'm like, where is Hannah in the Bible? Like, you know, I didn't even have like that memorized. I'm like, okay, looked it up, found it. And I'm like, okay, there's just this little bit about Hannah. But the more I read about it and studied, I was like, wow. You know, it just really moved me just seeing her, her story. And as we look at it, her story, I feel like we're going to be able to relate with it either through times where we've sought the Lord in supplication, where we've just been desperate and we've just been like, Lord, can you hear my cry and my desperation? And even the times where she's negotiating, you know, with God, you know, she's offering her son, you know, if he gives her this gift, if he answers her prayer. And I think there's been times, you know, where we're like, we're at this place where we're negotiating with God. We're like, okay, God, if you could just do this for me, I will do this, you know? And I think that we can see that as we look at her, you know, what, you know, her prayer life and what she was willing to do. It starts in 1 Samuel 1, and it says, there was a certain man of the hill country of Ephraim whose name was Elkanah. He had two wives. The name of one wife was Hannah, and the name of the other one was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now the man used to go up year after year to the city to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where he had the two sons, Hophni and then Phinehas, where the priest of the Lord on the day of Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah and his wife and to all her sons and daughters, but to Hannah he would give double portions because he loved her. And though the Lord had closed her womb, and her rival used to provoke her grievously, just like we heard Danessa talk about, she would just torment her and initiate her because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year after year. And as she went up to the house of the Lord, she would provoke her more. And therefore Hannah wept and would not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why in your heart so sad? I am more than 10 sons. Now, isn't that like a typical man? Like, I should be enough for you. Where our wife is over here like, okay, you're great and all, but like when I hang out with the other wives, you know, and they've got all their kids and they're looking at me and I've got nothing, you know, like that just isn't cutting it. You're not like, in fact, I even, you know, she shares him. So it's not even like he's just her husband. So, you know, I just feel like that's kind of, you know, like not super sensitive of him. You know, I get that he wanted, you know, he's like, well, I love you so much, but, you know, seriously. So as we studied the prayer that she says here, she, well, I'll go into that now. It says, after they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli the priest was sitting at the seat besides the doorpost, the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. No razor shall hit his head. And as he continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth, but Hannah was speaking in her heart only. Her lips were moving and her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli took her to be drunken. And Eli said to her, how long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you. Can you imagine? Like, you're praying, and then this priest is over here thinking you're drunk. I can't even imagine. But Hannah answered him, no, my Lord, I am a troubled in spirit. I have not drinking wine or strong drink, but I am pouring out my heart to the soul, or soul to the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation. And Eli answered her, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition. Go to him. And she said, let your servant find favor in your eyes. And then the woman went on her way, ate, and her face was no longer sad. So she felt like this sense of relief. Like she hadn't, like, clearly this had been, she'd come to the temple yearly. This had been something she'd prayed to the Lord for years and years, and something that she just carried with her. And there's times like that where we have something that we're dealing with where we just, it's a continued burden that we're thinking, doesn't God hear our cry? And I understand that. I you know, it's funny though, when I look at the story, I'm thinking, like, I'm putting myself in Hannah's place, and I'm thinking about her situation and what she has, and I'm thinking, why would you go to giving your firstborn son? Like, I mean, I have to say, I mean, didn't you, like, don't you think, like, as a mother, I'm thinking, why go directly to that as the offering? And it makes me wonder if there wasn't conversations with God ahead of time. Like, in these years and years of her longing, maybe God was like, you're going to make this an idol if I give this to you right now. Maybe he needed to know she was really at the place where he could give her this and she could give him right back to him. And she wouldn't let it become her everything. And she wouldn't put God on the back burner because this was more important. It makes me wonder, you know, like where she was at. I mean, as a mother, you know, it, looking up what it says here, she brought him to the temple as soon as she weaned him. And back then it was like 3 to 5 years old, you know, which is still very, very young. And, you know, I would be personally, I would just be so worried. I'd be thinking, I'm going to take him to this Eli who's supposed to raise him, who totally messed up his own two boys. And now my son's going to go there and have to deal with this. But you know what? God knew Hannah's heart, and he knew Samuel, and he knew that Hannah, in that short amount of time, was going to prepare her son for what was ahead of him. I mean, you think about that. Like, you don't hear about him crying, you know, like you hear the conversations. He hears God. Like, you don't hear about, you know, like, she doesn't go like, oh, just take my son, I can't look at him. Danessa read some of the blessing that she said over her son, this prayer to God, where she's saying, I know God is everything. He is the rock. He looks out for the weak. He looks out for that. So we can see from that that she trusted God wholeheartedly. She knew that if Samuel needed anything, that he would be there, that God would be by his side, and he would provide everything. And she held Samuel in her hands open-handed. It was like, I have him right now, this time in my life, but I'm going to give him forward to God. And so she brought him, and not only did she bring him without any reservations, she brought an offering. So she came to the temple after these years of holding back while she was nursing him, and she brought a whole offering. So she gave him open-handed, open-hearted to the Lord, and just out of her just blessing and her just joy of what God gave her in the time that she had him. And so when I'm reading all of this, in her desperation and the time and her negotiating, it brought me back to a time in my life back. And I don't know if you noticed, but some of our children are pretty old. Like, and Todd and I have been married for 23 years. And so so I actually was married before I met Todd. And so my first three children are from my previous marriage. And so in my mid-20s, I hit a really horrible time of my life. My husband was becoming increasingly violent, and I knew that I had to leave him. And that meant that everything was going to change. Like, I, you know, everything in my life. And in that year, I lost my home. I lost my friends. I lost my job. I ended up getting laid off, too. I was like, are you kidding me, God? Like, could anything else happen? And I went through a custody battle that put me in debt. And then I lost his family, which was a huge part of my life. And I was completely devastated. And I cried out to God in desperation, like Hannah. I was, you know, I was at my wit's end, and I was completely lost. I didn't realize how much of my life and my identity was built on these things. My home and my husband and being a wife and all of that was all built on that. So when I'm crying out to God and feeling so lost, it's because the foundation wasn't God that I had built it on. Even though I believed in God, there was nothing under me. I was flailing. It was horrible. And God showed me that. He was like, all of these things are temporary. All of them. Like, your husband can die any day. Like, anybody could lose a spouse. You can lose a house, just like these families that their home burned down. It can be gone just like that, just like what we see happen with Job. And we can't let these things become our identity and our foundation. And so as this is actually the first time that God ever really spoke to me too. I want to mention that, because I, you know, I was definitely, you know, at rock bottom, and I felt his direction, and I really felt this voice from God. And I know not everybody hears God, and I want to point that out, because I don't want anybody to think, oh, I haven't heard from God, like his voice. And it may happen someday. I think sometimes some of us are very stubborn and independent, and if somebody else came along and tried to give you the word, you'd be like, well, I don't know what kind of, you know, Kool-Aid you're drinking, but that's good for you. But like, when you hear it from God, like, you know, someone who's stubborn like me, like, I was like, okay, that was really God. And so I was like, oh my gosh. And so I'm just, you know, I'm seeking God, and I'm like, God, how do I move forward? How do I not let this happen again? How do I not end up back in this place, you know, where I start to build my identity around these roles that I play and these things? And God was like, "You, whatever I give you, you need to hold it open-handed." And I was kind of like, okay, well, like, that doesn't, I mean, that's not the greatest news to hear, because you're thinking, when you get something and you work hard for it, you want to hold on to it tightly, you know, like your children, you know, things you're like, I worked so hard to get this house or this thing or that, and holding it open-handed sounds a little, you know, sketchy, like it just could be gone, you know. And so I was definitely not excited about that word, but I also knew that that place in my life, that I never wanted to end up there again. I never wanted to feel that way, that lost and alone, ever again. And so I knew that, you know, that I needed to, you know, make that promise to God that I would do that. And so just like Hannah had, she had this time, this wonderful time after Samuel was born, and everything was great, you know. And it, honestly, Hannah very well could have been like, well, we need to put this off a little. Like, he's still pretty young. This would just be a burden to Eli and his sons. Like, what's he going to really do at the temple at this age? Like, she could have started, you know, kind of reneging on the vow that she made God. And just like, you know, she had to face that situation. Years later, I had remarried. I had my career. I had finished my schooling in design. I had been a house cleaner for years. And so this was something I was passionate, and now I was doing it and successful. And we were part of Mill Creek Foursquare, a wonderful, wonderful church. And I would volunteer, and I was loving life. It was great. And all of a sudden, I had this time where God brought me back to that place and the promise I had made. And so we had this youth leader retreat, because I was volunteered as a youth leader, and we went over to Squim, and we're out in this church, and the pastor at the time, Eric Neal, he's like, he wanted all of us to go, all the youth leaders, to go kind of off in corners of the church, and he wanted us to pray for an hour. And I was like, an hour? Like, I had never prayed for an hour in all my life. I was just like, an hour? Are you kidding me? I mean, I'm ADHD, so it was not a simple task. I was distracted multiple times, but I did pray. And I'm sitting there thinking, what am I going to pray for in an hour? I just got my face in this pew, and I'm just like, oh my gosh. And so, and then all of a sudden, kind of the reminder that God had, you know, asked me to hold things open-handed, that came to me first, and I was kind of like, oh yeah. Yeah, I did. Yeah, say that. Yeah, and I'm doing that, right? I'm doing that. So I was like, it's good. And then all of a sudden, I heard God say He wanted more, and I was like, what do you mean more? Like, I'm like, I'm doing pretty good. Like, I'm like, you know, I'm volunteering. I pray. I go to church regularly. We do tithing. Like, I was going down the list because I was like, what do you mean more? Like, I think I'm doing pretty good, you know, because who doesn't want to, you know, argue with God, because you're just like, you think you know better. So I'm doing that. And God's just like, all of your long-term goals and all of your plans are about what you want and your career. Where have you asked me what I have planned for your life? And I was just like this, like, I was just like, oh my gosh, like, I was like, whoa, well, I didn't know you had a plan for my life, you know? I was just, you know, I mean, my kind of picture of God and His plans and stuff like that was this, kind of like a movie, let's put it like that, like a movie. So there's the leading, you know, characters, the leading roles. And there's maybe some supporting roles, and then there's, you know, the extras. And so, like, the leading roles, you know, you got people like Peter and, you know, Daniel and those main people. And those are like, you know, those are the really good people, you know, like the really good churchy people that, like, you see their pastors. And so, of course, they're pastors, you know. And then there's, like, you know, us extras, you know, that we're kind of, you know, you just try to be good and stay out of trouble and, you know, and not mess up the plans of the leading role people. And maybe you can be a supporting role where you kind of help them. But it wasn't like God had big plans for those other people. It's kind of how I thought. So I was like, so we just kind of, you know, plan our own life, right? And God's like, oh, no. I have plans for each and every one of you. And I have designed you specially for that purpose with those plans. And the giftings I've given you are also supportive of that plan I have for your life. And I was just like, oh, man. And so I was just like, oh, what does this mean? And that's all I got for a while. So I'm just kind of like thinking, okay, what is this plan that God has this for me? And like, how is this going to like unfold, you know? I'm just like stressing. And so then all of a sudden, probably about 2 months after this, the youth pastor at the time and Joseph Phelan, who actually used to pastor this church for a while, they said they wanted me to come in, and because they had decided they were going to do this middle school pastor job and not have break it into two sections. And so I'm thinking, okay, maybe they just, you know, I've been a volunteer for a while. Maybe they just want some input. I don't even know. And so then they offer me the job. They're like, they go, what would you do if you were a middle school pastor? And I'm thinking, well, you know, I have lots of ideas. Anybody who knows me, I have lots of ideas about pretty much everything. And I'm kind of like, you know, and then they're like, well, we want you to take the job. And I'm like, I'm an interior designer. Like, I am not a pastor. And they're like, well, no, we want you to take the job. I'm like, well, surely you're going to interview some people that like went to school for this, you know, like went to Bible school, Northwest University. I don't know. Maybe the interns, you know, like Kyle Veach, who is now a pastor, who was an intern at the time. I'm like, he would be great. This is his goal in life, is this job. And they were like, we want you to go home and pray about it. And I'm just like, oh, there's that. So I went home and I prayed about it. And I'm just like, God's just like, I said I wanted more. And I'm just like, and I asked you to hold, but I gave you open-handed. So I'm like, but my job, you know, my career. And, you know, I had been passionate about art and design and creativity since I was a little kid. Like, I wasn't like a regular little kid. Like, I didn't just like go, you know, play with dolls. I would build dollhouses, but I didn't play with them. I just wanted to decorate. I would build forts. Like, I was just creating and building and just had this passion for this. And I thought, well, this is clearly what I was meant to do, you know. So a lot of the things that God had put on my, these giftings and these things, they, God found ways to use those in youth ministry. I was doing like big events and decorating them. The passion where he gave me in design, where I see something and I just see what it could become and the beauty that's there. Like I see the core and the beauty of it, like of the architecture, whatever it is. And it's like, but maybe someone else can't see that. He opened my heart that way towards youth. And so where they just, you know, they had their insecurities or whatever it was, God just opened my eyes to that in them. And he just kept growing. And as I had my hands open-handed and I let go of design, which I have to tell you, people thought I was nuts, which I bet Hannah went through this. Like, can you imagine all the other moms were like, why would you give your son to him? Like, who would do that? Like, why would you do that? I had people, they were like, why would you give up a career that you were meant to do? Like, you were gifted and this is what you should do. Like, and to work as a youth pastor? Like, they thought I was crazy, you know? But I'm like, and when I let go of the design for that time, I was like, because it was like, because people are more important than decorating, wow. You know? And that's why that had to go and I had to let go. And, but he grew my passions. And so it's like, sometimes we can hold so tightly to something because we think that's the only thing that's going to bring us joy. We make it our idol. But God's like, I will open your eyes and your heart to things you didn't even know that you would love. A lot of times these natural giftings that we have, like I said, God has other plans for it. When probably about a month ago, Pastor Chris was talking about Peter and how Peter had been a fisherman. You know, and Jesus comes to him, goes, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. And it just, you know, and here Hannah, she had this desire to be a mom, but God knew that she had this special gift to not just raise a son, but raise a son that would be a great prophet and definitely better prepared than Eli's sons were. So she definitely had a gifting there. And a lot of us, each of you, have things that God has given you a passion for. and maybe a talent for, just like you guys using your gift of your passion for music and sharing that with us. It's like God has a plan and a purpose. And it's sometimes we act out in a job or whatever, we find our niche, you know, like our areas that we have strength. But a lot of times God has other plans that he's going to use that for. Says, and his mother used to make him a little robe and take it to him each year when she went with her husband to offer a sacrifice. So you see, it doesn't end with her just saying goodbye to Samuel. She comes, she visits him every single year. She's part of his life. She's still investing in his life. And then Eli would actually bless her and her husband. And it says, may the Lord give you children by this woman for the petition she asked of the Lord, so they would return to their home. And indeed, the Lord visited Hannah, and she conceived and bore 3 sons, 2 daughters, and the boy Samuel grew in the presence of the Lord. So she continued to have these blessings because her hands were open. And so God continued to bless her. And God gave me back design. I'm actually doing design again. And so I let it go and I said goodbye, but then there was this time where I was like, when it was my season ended, I actually was pregnant with our son and gonna have him, and it was just having a newborn and being in youth ministry was not gonna work out. And so, but I spent a lot of time praying, and I'm like, God, is it okay? Is it okay for me to seek, you know, design again, or is that frivolous? Or, you know, like how do you feel about that? Should I continue ministry? And God's like, oh, you're going to continue ministry. You don't have to work at a church to continue ministry.
Yes.
He goes, I have plans for your life, and you don't have to be on staff to do that.
Yeah.
And so, and with design, what he showed me is he said, I have designed each and every one of you to be brought joy and peace when you're surrounded in beauty. I am the ultimate designer. I change the seasons. Even though it's just a temporary thing, he knows each of those seasons, the beauty it brings and the joy it brings us. And so I, you know, was like, okay, I can do that, you know. He said, but don't even think that your time in ministry is done.
Yeah.
And so I've continued to do that. But the cool thing about doing this, speaking on this today, and Mark asked me, because I was at first, I was kind of like, well, Lord, you know, what do you want me to say? So it's been months I've been praying about this. Mm-hmm. And God showed me that thing where he said, you know, hold open-handed, where a lot of times I thought of that as a negative, you know, because I'm just like, well, I want to hold tightly, I want to control it, I want goals that I work towards. He showed me that by holding it open-handed, we become a conduit.
Yeah.
And so what God does is he's constantly pouring into us. It's going out, but we're having new re-brought in. When our hands are tightly gripped around something, we can't receive anything else. That's all we've got, is that right there. But by opening up our hands, we're now a conduit. And he uses that to bless everyone around. Just like, God's given me the ability to put together events like we did yesterday. And it's because God's using me. And he'll give me gifts of things that maybe it's just a temporary thing. Like when we did the VBS, I had to write a play. I mean, I'm sure I probably could have found one. I really tried to find one because I am not an actor. I've not been in a play. But God gave me the story that he laid on my heart that was going to be the play. And so I'm like, well, I guess I'm just going to have to write it because I'm not finding one who's already done. And so he gave me the gifts and abilities to do that for that time. Do I think I'll ever write another play? I don't think so. I don't know. But if God wants me to, he will give me the giftings and ability I need for that time.
Yes.
And he does that. He gave Hannah the strength to let Samuel. In 1 Peter 4:10, it says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. And so that's just something that, you know, kind of I carry with me, is that verse is just whatever we have, whether it's, you know, cooking, or it could be encouraging people, or it could just be, sometimes, Nancy, you just go and you find stuff for people, and you like she'll go to a grocery store. She's really good at finding stuff. And she said she'll see that they're looking for something, and she'll run and grab it and then bring it and say, here, were you looking for this? Is that not the coolest thing? But God's using her in that, because that's a gift, because God uses everything. He uses every single thing. And anything the enemy means for our harm, God will turn and use it for our good, and he'll use it as a blessing. It says, can you recall a time in your desperation you promised God something? Have you followed through with that promise? And I know that's easier said than done, but yeah. So is there something, think back and think, was there a time where you were at the end of your rope and you were like, Lord, please, I will give you whatever it takes, you know, if you do this for me. And have you followed through? And remember what I said, as we open-handed, he brings us more as we keep our hands open. It says, what are you holding too tightly to instead of holding it open-handed? So is there something, it could even be your children, you know? It's like, what are we trying to control and keep close as a security or something, or an identity? Like, what are you holding in your hands too tightly that you need to just hold open-handed and let God bring it or take it, whatever he has to do? And then what giftings do you have that might be something God has bigger plans for?
Thank you very much.